Senate Rules Administration Committee will come to order. Members, two just brief, I know that many have questions they want to attend here, so we'll be relatively brief. First, on the current joint rules, we have some updated drafts of a few rules. I have met with the House leadership, and I think we're coming along nicely, and hopefully we will get joint rules this year. Mr. Watson, why don't we have a couple updates here of new drafts and things? What do we have now?
Mr. Chairman, you should have in your files a little list of all of the amendments that have been brought forward publicly to the Rules Committee to date. And one new subject is the very first one on the list, Senator Carlson's proposal to increase the number of Senate authors from 5 to 15. Then on the bottom of the list, Senators Pogemiller and Pappas each have a new version of the amendments that you'd talked about before. And those three documents are what are in your folders. I don't know in what order you want to take them up.
Why don't we just do those, and then we'll hear from Senator Carlson real quickly. But let's do these ones that are recent. The Joint Committee one, I think that accommodates a suggestion, does it, by Senator Senjum to take out that language about the specifics balanced by gender and
geography.
This is A10, Senator Senjum. This was the suggestion.
Oh.
Yeah. I think everybody kind of thought that rule was pretty good, except for take out that specific reference to gender balance, because that's in the law. Didn't seem necessary in the rules. Yeah. Well, the rule isn't yours. The rule was the one Senator Pappas brought us to confirm with the region selection process in law, and you had just suggested that we delete the specific reference to gender and race. And I think members were comfortable with that. So
I would move that.
No, we're just until this will show up when the joint rules come. Okay. It'll look like this. Then A12, Mr. Weiss, this is the chair rotation. Senator Bach had suggested that we accept Sundays, and that's drafted now on line 1.3 to accept Sundays. So I think that gets you where you...
That's helpful. Yeah.
Accept
In our discussions with the House Rules Committee Chair, he thought that makes sense.
We can accept. Oh, okay.
Okay, Senator Carlson. You've got A6, just briefly, it's not that complex of a topic.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this has been a little bit of a problem in that people have wanted to be on a bill, and as you well know, the House has, in our view, almost infinite number, which is, I guess, 35. And what happens is that if you're the sixth person that wants to be on this bill, you have to decide whether you're going to sponsor a clone bill or whether you're going to stay off of it. And often I've even found that there's been sometimes a person that has dropped off of a bill, so there were four, and I didn't realize that I could have gotten on it. So in one case this year, I did sponsor a clone bill, and as you may know, there's kind of a stigma about that there's an average cost per bill that is often quoted, which may or may not be accurate because a clone bill really doesn't cost very much because it's it doesn't require additional reviser time. So I'm offering this as a suggestion that we can increase the number of people who can be a co-sponsor on the bill.
Mr. Watson, this discussion has been before the Rules Committee before. Mr. Watson has dusted off a few sheets and updated them based on some of the statistics and data. Senator Carlson, this one is of particular interest to Senate consuls because they... that's why he's always prepared with this type of information. Mr. Watson. And Senator Carlson, he's just doing his job. Don't make it personal. Mr. Secretary.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, if I can take off my Senate counsel hat and put on my half a hat, that's Secretary of the Senate.
Mr. Watson.
As you said, the The House changed its rule in 1999, and every year since 2001, we've had pretty much the same discussion about moving to unlimited authors or some higher number, like 5 or 10 or 10 or 15 or 20 or whatever. And the Senate front desk has long expressed its lack of support for doing this and has put together statistics. And likewise, the House desk has been cooperative in providing us with statistics on how things work in the House. So I wanted you to have the benefit of this information about what's been happening. You've got sort of the cover statistics about what the change in number of authors has done in the Senate and House to reduce the number of bills that are introduced. You see there's a little asterisk. If you've got that, you're not all looking at that piece of paper. Did that get passed around? Lindsay, does everyone at the table have that one now? Yes. Lindsay, I think people don't have it.
I hadn't even thought about that. Is that how they do it?
Rather than signing
We've got two sheets of something here, Dick.
You got two sheets, you need the third sheet, which is.
All right, keep talking.
Do members not have this one?
No.
There were plenty of them when it started. I don't know what happened.
So who all's got them then?
Oh, they
Jeff
got
has got them.
Who needs this?
Yeah, I need.
Do you have them?
No.
Thanks.
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Watson, start talking. Watson.
Mr. Watson.
They said, you see on the line that's 1999 and 2000, the asterisk, that's the year that the House went to unlimited authors, and you can see the impact on number of bills. Or not.
Every year.
So it really has not had the claimed impact of reducing the number of bill introductions. The next piece I'd like you to look at is the one-page sheet labeled Senate. The sheet labeled Senate shows the number of author motions that have been made, the other number of authors added, and so forth, just in the last biennium, 07 and 08. So you see, total in 2007 was 300. 2008, 237. So 537 motions in the Senate. Then the next sheet, labeled House, has as its first thing a little history, which tells you about the change that was made in 99 and how they worked it. And you'll see the number of author motions that they had back in 97, 98, 660 motions, not that different from what the Senate is now. But you get up to 2007 and 2008, you get 3,834 motions versus that Senate 537. So let's see, eight times as many motions being made in the House as in the Senate as a result of that change. Turning past that narrative to the long table, it's a little hard to read at first glance, but what it has is the first three columns on the left go by session day from 1 to 43, showing the number of motions made each day and the number of authors that were added by those motions. For example, on the fifth day, we had 54 motions that added 140 authors. the session days continue on the second.
Mr. Watson.
Yep. Have the point. Okay.
We got the number.
All right. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary Watson. Mr. Carlson, anything you would like to add?
How you doing, Carly?
Well, I, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I really hadn't offered this as a means to reduce the number of bills, but it certainly would have that effect if we are talking about phone bills. And as far as the number of motions and number of authors, it seems to me that might be a little different problem than it is in limiting the number of authors that can be on.
The point, the more slots you have available, the more people want to get on phones and everything else. Mm-hmm. That's really what's going on.
That may be true.
Five. That's it.
Unless we do clone bills, because I think last year there was one bill that had four or five clones, if I remember correctly, something like that.
Just out of curiosity, not to pick on that bill, but did that bill ever become law?
I don't think so.
There does seem to be a correlation. The bills that tend to have a lot of clones tend to be the bills that never become law. It's an odd thing. Not always, but so that tells you a little bit.
Mr. Chairman, I've often wondered about that in terms of clones, and I know sometimes I have signed on to them, but it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to do a clone bill. Nobody in reality out there pays that much attention to who are the authors on bills. And whether you support or oppose an issue and position you take is far more important in terms of when you're communicating to your public or whether you're campaigning. I think that's still the key, and I think we ought to think through that rather than to waste the time either on the clones or the motions. I had forgotten. I was going to ask what was the history on this in terms of why we haven't taken action on it. And this was a tremendous graphic display that it really doesn't have what would be on the face of it an assumed effect.
Well, the history has been our former Secretary of the Senate, our retired Secretary of the Senate, was really adamant about this, just did not like the idea, because the other body had done it. Mm-hmm. To be fair, I'm sure that's part of it. As you can see, we've even our new temporary Secretary of the Senate and the desk, I don't think this is a very good idea. But it's our choice, and Senator Carlson will take it under advisement and think about it. You basically are trying to simplify things a little bit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think the issue is, does this simplify or complicate? Yeah.
That's correct. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carson.
Sure enough. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other rules that anybody wants to discuss? I'm guessing that within the next week or two, we will pretty much get to a position where the House is ready to move on the exact rules, and hopefully we'll get that all done. So any other suggestions that we could consider or think about today with regards to joint rules or permits? Any, Senator Senjum and others, any further thoughts on Rule 7?
I thought we had a good meeting 2 days ago.
So maybe keep going down that path a little bit and see where we are.
I think if we continue to go down the path, I think we'll discover where we can modify Rule 7. That's my view. I thought it was productive and it was probably the best hour of the first month and a half of the legislative session.
Just for members who were not participants, so we had followed up on the suggestion that some of the key budget chairs, leads in the minority and the majority, just get together and chat informally about targets. And we took the, Senator Bach, did not include taxes at this point. You were comfortable with that. It was just Senator Cohen, Senator Frederickson, Senator Olson, Senator Stump, Senator Pappas, Senator Roebling, and Senator Berglund, and Senator Fischbach. So it was a small group, kind of informal chat about those budget areas, and it was based on kind of what are the biggest budget areas, and I think there was a feeling that we probably could make more progress without the taxation discussion at that moment, at least. And so there was really no progress. It was more just kind of starting to talk talk about how we maybe could get to certain targets. So I just wanted to say that. That's what Center Central was just referring to.
Targets
we'll continue down that path a little bit and see where we get. And obviously, if we start to get somewhere, then we'll want to involve other budget chairs and so forth. So. Okay, then moving on to the second item, discussion of the Senate budget. I want to call on Ms. Helgen to just tell us a little bit of what we have done so far, tightening up the Senate budget. Members, we all know that the imperative this year is that there's going to be tightening of the Senate budget. And in December, we did make some changes. Both the House and the Senate and the governor made cuts in their own budgets. We've done some other things to anticipate what we're going to have to do with our budget in general when we set our budget for next biennium. And I just thought it would be helpful. And we are absolutely working on this issue of providing as much budget information that's useful to the Rules Committee as per whatever that requires. And Ms. Helgen and Secretary Zoff are in discussions on how to do that and provide information in a way that's useful to the members. So just why don't you just give us a little update about some things that have happened.
Members, we really haven't talked a lot, focused a lot on the budget cuts that we've been making, but I think everyone is pretty well aware of the fact that we've made some pretty significant cuts. So, you know, in light of where we're at with the budget situation and some of the conversations that were going on, we just wanted to kind of go through sort of a quick summary of where we're at and some of the things we've done. I think everyone remembers we did the overall, the 3% budget cut, which was $710,000. It was at the end of last legislative session, but it was for fiscal year 09. That's kind of how we started the year. Then we did a second, through the unallotment process, we did a voluntary cut to the Senate budget of another $800,000. Basically, a lot of this has come through salary savings that we've gotten from positions that we either eliminated or left unfilled. Just this year alone, there's been 8 positions that basically have been left unfilled as people have left or that have been eliminated. Prior to that, we had also basically eliminated by not filling 16 previous positions. So there's been 24 total positions at this point. I think everyone is familiar with the savings that we got through the work we did on saving on postage, as well as the out-of-state travel ban that we put in earlier this year, basically saying, given where we're at, we were going to cut the travel budget by a significant amount. Overall, there's been a lot of other cuts in individual and smaller areas, but so much of what we do is personnel-related that obviously by not filling and eliminating those positions, that's been our biggest savings and really the only place that in any significant way that we have to go.
You've been talking about the existing biennium, but our planning going forward is going to. So, what you've achieved now has been related to the current biennium.
Right. Oh, 09.
And we can anticipate that there's going to be more that's required as we plan for the next.
Absolutely.
I believe so. But some of the things that we've done for this biennium will automatically be carried over to the next biennium.
Of course.
Filling positions.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to get into the detail of the individual positions, but there's been significant reductions in some of the support staff around the Senate. We've eliminated a committee. A committee was eliminated,
yeah.
And that had a permanent reduction in staffers. Mm-hmm. So those things are going on. It's my intent to proceed with, unless the Rules Committee wants to recall it. Remember we did that postage thing in here 2-3 weeks ago? I'm absolutely committed to that resolution. I know even some of my own, some of the members in the majority do not support that, cutting the postage in half. I know that. But in the context of the Senate budget overall, I believe it's the right thing to do. We're going to need to do things like that. So having said all that, I also want to announce or kind of review with the Rules Committee prior to it becoming general knowledge some other actions that are being taken. I want to make clear this is not just me making this decision. And the way I'm going to do that is by passing out a letter Senator Lanxa sent me yesterday. And I think in reading Senator Lanxa's letter, you should be aware that this is not just Senator Lanxa. I think he just, as a senior member, decided to send a letter.
But this after talking to many people, I sent the letter.
Yes.
Many of them initiating the conversation with me.
Yes. And I have had many discussions in the last month or so with many members, and frankly, this is a topic that has been, why haven't you done this yet, Larry? Is basically what I've heard. So, I've got another, I've written down what I am implementing, and I want to run it by the Rules Committee. You don't need authority of the Rules Committee to do this, but my style has been to try to keep people informed and not do things unilaterally. And trust me, none of this is unilateral. Matter of fact, I've frankly been one of the most resistant people to what I'm going to announce right now. I've been the most resistant to this among most of the senior members in the Senate, from what I can tell. In light of the shortfall and the economic immediacy of our budget problem, we are going to hear, we are absolutely going to hear Senator Michel's bill that he introduced yesterday to reduce salaries of senators and executive branch. It's in Senator West Committee. I cannot make her hear that, but if she chooses not to, I will call the bill to this committee, and we will hear that bill in due process. And since it affects the executive branch too, though, I can't unilaterally do anything like that, and the Senate rules can't do anything. What we can do is, and what I am doing, is directing the Secretary of the Senate, in this case, not this half of it, but the other half, Secretary Zaw, upon a request by a member to reduce their salary, the Secretary of the Senate shall implement that. If a member of the Senate requests that their salary be reduced, the Secretary of the Senate will implement that in the budget, in the payroll process. That's all that I can do at this moment. Due consideration will be given to the Senator Michel bill. I will say for the public record that I do not support Senator Michel's bill, but if the majority of the Senate does, I'm not going to get in the way. Secondly, we are freezing salaries for Senate employees and no promotional increases for the remainder of this year. I don't believe that will come as a surprise to our staff. It pains me to do that because, as you know, I've been a big advocate of getting our salaries in the Senate for our staff up, and we've made great progress in the last 2 or 3 years. But I think considering where we are with our state budget, I think this is an appropriate action at this time.
Mr. Chair, I just got something on my desk that it was a negotiated settlement with the IFO and higher education. And I guess I thought they did it as a total system, but apparently they don't. And I know my institution in Moorhead was part of it. No pay increase and no steps and length increases for 2 years negotiated with the union. So I think this is just going along with that.
And this is just for the remainder of this year. We will have to reevaluate as we proceed here. And again, number two is very difficult for me personally because, many of you thought maybe we were doing too much for salaries, but I do not think we have been. I think our staff has been underpaid relative to the other bodies of similar responsibility. And finally, on number three, following up on Senator Lanxa's point in his letter and much, much feedback from members of the Senate. We're imposing a hiring freeze in the Senate immediately. The Rules Committee, I'm just stating something obvious here, the Rules Committee does have the authority to grant exemptions to that if we choose. I don't think we'll be choosing many, I'm guessing we won't be choosing many exemptions, but an example would be, we keep using the Senator Birdland staff member example. If a key staff person like Senator Bergen's fiscal analyst became ill, we need to replace that position. And we just need to, we can't finish the session without that. So it'll be that level of thing. So members, I open up for comment. Again, I'm not, obviously if the whole committee said to me, stop, don't do this, I would consider that, but I'm not trying to place any responsibility on any of you. This is an action that I have the authority to take. I'm taking it, and I'm open to discussion. Senator Sinema.
Mr. Chair, you know what I'm going to say, and I'm going to hopefully say it in a tone that's respectful and professional, but hopefully also to the point. You know, and a number of people around the table know, we have a chief of staff position open. Valuable person currently within any caucus organization. We've gone diligently through the process. We have been interviewed three people. That end of the 14 days to which you must wait to make a hire is Monday. This action, obviously, as you well know, interrupts that process. And I sense perhaps that there's, and I don't even want to use the word retaliation, but I sense that there are reasons around this decision that they're probably not exemplary of the Senate. And what I have come to know, at least in my 6 years, the Senate's all about. I think, to some extent, this is an example of some thoughts about Senator Michelle's idea as of yesterday, and maybe other ideas related to postage stamps or things like that. I would only suggest that these are senators with ideas. We can like them or not like them on an individual basis or even a caucus basis, but their ideas and their free expressions that we all, I think, feel within the Minnesota Senate ought to be privileged to give and to offer if you have those kind of things. I can understand that if people aren't happy with certain ideas that people have, that's one thing. But if this action is in any way to be retaliatory, at least with respect to our chief of staff position, then I'm terribly concerned. We have tried to approach this very sensitive subject in as highly a professional and as respectful manner as possible. And I just fear, and I have to ask the Senate counsel, is this a position that unequivocally the chair of this committee has, or is it a committee position that would have to be voted on? Because I certainly, you know, I would just simply offer, if it's a position that needs to be voted on, I don't know if I need an amendment or whatever, but we ought to have a roll call vote.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sinema, the Secretary of the Senate Administrative works under the supervision of the whole Rules Committee, but more particularly under the supervision of the Chair of the Rules Committee. And if the Chair of the Rules Committee directs her to do something, she's got to do it. If the Rules Committee thinks that that's something wrong, the Rules Committee could take action to try to reverse or control the action of the chair. But it's not something that the chair needs to get advance approval from the Rules Committee for.
Mr. Consul, would it be appropriate, at least per the way that we operate, to offer verbally a proposed amendment to the majority leader's suggestion that we make the freeze effective on on whatever Tuesday is at 8 a.m., which would then fulfill the 14 days that we've been waiting for procedurally to make our hire.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, the chair of the committee has not made a motion. There's not a motion pending before the body. So if you wanted to get that before the body, you could make a motion. But he has not put any motion before the body at this time.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. Majority Leader and Council and members, then I would make a motion that, and I can understand the need for a hiring freeze. We all know that. But to freeze in the middle of a process that involves, at least for our caucus, a very, very important position, is disturbing. And I'm not sure it's fair to the minority. And so I would thus then make a motion that the hiring freeze go into effect on Tuesday. And maybe I should ask our personnel director if it's Monday or Tuesday. Monday is the completion of the 14-day. My understanding is that if our new person could be hired, we could start on the 14th.
Mr. Boomhoff? Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, Dan Boomhauer, I'm Human Resources Director. The earliest day that appointment could be made would be the 24th of February.
Mr. Chair, then I would make a motion for hiring freeze commence on the 25th of February.
Okay, I think that's absolutely in order. Discussion? Senator Senjum makes that motion.
Mr. Chair, you know, Warren stayed. We had a new president come in the middle of summer. In September, she had a hiring. They have been reducing numbers. So we are probably following more than leading. Some people say we should lead the way. Well, it appears to me that this is following rather than leading.
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, based on what Ms. Kelm said to us earlier, we've sort of had a quasi-freeze for some time. And I believe that what you're doing, Mr. Chairman, is simply making it clear to everyone in the Senate, who works in the Senate, and all the senators that we are making it formally known that we're not filling positions. I think that's a good thing, because I wasn't aware that we were doing that, and I think it's important that everyone be aware of it. It might make a difference in terms of a decision.
Mr.
Chair and members, I would offer in the hope of fairness and understanding that with respect to our caucus, that as we have ourselves gone through it's not easy to make changes, and as we ourselves have gone down this road and have worked within the framework and procedures of the Senate and its personnel policies, and are sitting now only to wait for the notice of job posting to expire, which would occur on Monday. To interrupt that at this point for the most important position in our caucus, I would simply ask your understanding and spirit of hopefully fairness and goodwill that you allow this process to go forward. This is extremely important to our caucus, and I think it's frankly extremely important to the future of this session from the standpoint of our ability to work together. And we have monstrous tasks in front of us, and there are always going to be things out there which people agree with or disagree with respect to people's ideas. But in terms of the core leadership of this Senate, I hope we can understand that this is very, very important to our caucus, and that we ought to, and hopefully that aspect of how important it is. And I would simply raise the standpoint of some level of fairness and decency that they be involved to at least begin the series on the date noted. And I look forward to working with the majority leader on through the rest of this session. And whatever happens here isn't going to substantially harm that relationship. But you all well know, as your caucus and our caucus, that caucus leadership is important. And we need this position filled.
Senator Senjum, I absolutely understand what you just said. As I told you privately, and I will say publicly, I do not take lightly our relationship. I believe, though, that in this instance, I've taken an action that is by overwhelming numbers in the Senate. Further discussion. Clerk will call the roll on the Senjum motion.
Senator Bullmore?
No.
Senator Clark?
No.
Senator Ferguson?
Yes.
Senator Langseth?
No.
Senator Benson?
No.
Senator Bach?
No.
Senator Wilson?
Pass.
Senator Berglund?
No.
Yes.
6 noes.
The motion does not prevail. 6 noes and 2 yeses. Further business before the rules.
Okay.
Members, I just want to repeat the point that we are absolutely not out of the woods. And I do not say this to give people sleepless nights, but I do not think, I think there's a distinct possibility there will be layoffs in the Senate by the time we're done with the budget. Certainly attrition, but perhaps even layoffs. So this budget is very, very serious. And as Ms. Elgin has already pointed out, we expect almost $2 million, 1.7 or something, I forget what that number is. We've already made significant cuts, so Senator Bach.
Mr. Chair, as you meet with the Secretary of Senate and kind of discuss going forward how we're going to find further salary savings, just let me put something on the table as a suggestion. You know, every layoff affects, use the governor's statement, somebody's kitchen table, somebody's life. I think we should engage our Senate staff in a discussion if there's going to be salary savings, the idea of furloughs in lieu of layoffs, and find out what the sentiment of our employees is. So that, because I think
Well, back at the Carpenters Union, I used to say there's a big B in brotherhood. And I would, it's a difficult time in that there aren't jobs for people to go to. And so I just would like those people making the decisions about how we try to reduce our our overall salary here, to put that into consideration, that maybe some time off for people and see kind of what the sentiment of our Senate employees are before we get too far down that road.
Senator Frederickson, Mr. Chairman, along with Senator Box, and I would hope we would explore some job sharing, perhaps reduce dollars, our employees could retain their benefits, and the more could be the
there are a lot of people in the Senate staff who are working hard because this is a very difficult time. And so I would just request when you send out the news about the salary freeze that we make sure that it includes our heartfelt thanks for the work they're doing, because the people that I work with are working very hard. And some of them, as we have mentioned, are essential employees. And there are some people who probably could go somewhere else because they have that much in terms of skills. And I just want them to know that this action isn't taken because of our appreciation.
Mr. Chair, I like Senator Bach's idea. I would hope that we could achieve some of this through voluntary rather than any kind of mandatory. I think there's a number of people that would like to have some time off in the summer when they aren't very busy and so on and so. But communicating with them, I think we can pick up who might be interested in voluntary
level. Excellent suggestion to communicate with the employees I'm talking about. When it's appropriate, we will absolutely do that and kind of survey and just see what our workforce is. We have about 220 Ms. How many people? 211. We will absolutely do that. I want to let Senator Sanders know that I am looking at the proportionality numbers between the caucuses and things, and that is absolutely something that we need to be fair and concerned about. I will try to involve members of the Rules Committee as best as possible. I want to make sure I didn't announce that there's layoffs. I did not announce that. What I said is we absolutely, though, have to be realistic about what the potential things are for the Senate budget. So I absolutely do not want to cause any sleepless nights. I just want this budget's very serious. I don't think we can solve the state budget without layoffs. Maybe we can, but so. And you know, I think this might be an appropriate time to just mention, as an example of job sharing, we have two of our most senior employees who have taken on additional responsibilities this session. I don't know if they work longer hours than they work. And I just want to briefly mention that myself and Mr. Watson. Ms. Zoff is, I'm so pleased that we made this decision as a Senate, because she is just, I think she's a person that staff do trust in the Senate, and she gives valuable counsel to me and the MAC. So, anyhow.
Mr. Chair, I think the freeze in both the salary and
the numbers would prevent layoffs as much as possible. We may have to go beyond that, but
yes.
I think this will prevent a massive layoff.
Those are the components. I think we're kind of going down a path the private sector goes down, and frankly, some members thought we could have done this sooner. So, thank you, members. Good luck with the public hearings in the next couple of days. Meeting adjourned.
Good job, Dred.
Had a seat. You can take the layoffs.
Who needs sleep? Sleep is for wimps.